We're taking stock of how American companies are doing as they promised to fight for racial justice last year. It's a report from the Conference Board on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In the wake of George Floyd's murder, many companies pledged large sums of money to address racial inequality. Here's a TV ad from Bank of America making its pledge and laying out the underlying issues that communities of color face.
That's why Bank of America has committed $1 billion over 4 years to address critical gaps in affordable housing, access to health care, employment and job skills, and the resources small businesses need to succeed. We can do more to further advance racial equality and economic opportunity for all.
But have corporations delivered? Your insights, 800-642-1234. Paul Washington is Executive Director of the ESG Center at the Conference Board. The ESG Center is a nonprofit think tank focusing on corporate governance, sustainability, and corporate citizenship and philanthropy. Its report is called Corporate Racial Equality Investments 1 Year Later. Paul, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really delighted to be here.
Well, you reached out to dozens of companies and really tried to dig into what is going on surveying these companies. What did you hear from them?
Well, we heard a few things, and I'll just give you a couple of the headlines. I think the main one was that companies are, in fact, making a serious sustained effort to achieve impact with their philanthropic contributions here. You know, why did they do this? Well, 84% of them made these contributions because it's aligned with their company values. They made contributions because it was aligned with their business, and notably because they believed they could have an enduring impact. So this was not just responding to internal or external pressure. This was genuine. And the other thing is, in terms of the length of their commitments, it's not your conventional, you know, 1 year, write a check and move on. Most companies that we've heard from are actually making a sustained effort, a multi-year effort here. And you heard that actually in the Bank of America ad. So I think that's the principal takeaway from this report. Now, there are obviously things that we found that companies can do better going forward, but I think that's the principal headline.
Well, there were, when you talk about internal and external influences, there were huge forces going on, you know, in certainly in the Black Lives Matter movement, post George Floyd, and you know, all of the protests were over police brutality. And I'm wondering what those influences were doing inside the ranks of these corporations.
It's a great question. So when it came to who pushed for this, for companies to make these financial commitments, and many of them are, you know, you heard B of A's, but, you know, dozens of companies made commitments of over $100 million. And that's a significant amount, especially for an area where they hadn't necessarily focused their resources before. The main drivers were actually the CEO and senior management. They said, we need to be doing something. The next biggest driver was employees, who said, we need to be doing something here. Following that were customers, a little bit of peer pressure. And one thing that wasn't a factor, actually, were the company's investors. They care about these issues. We've talked to investors who care very much about this. But in the time frame we're talking about, it was really internal pressure from the top, or internal decision-making from the top, that said, we need to do something here.
And it oftentimes is how top-down structures work, where you get those messages from people in power, and then that is how it gets started.
Yes, and that has a good side, right? Because if you've got the support of the CEO and the senior management team, you know, this really has oomph behind it. The other thing, though, that can happen, and this is one of the lessons learned, is sometimes companies got a bit out over their skis in making commitments before they quite knew what they were going to do with it. So one of the recommendations coming out of a report is companies may need to spend a little more time socializing what they plan to do and how they plan to follow through before they make the statements. Because, you know, if it's just the head of communications going in to talk to the CEO, in this case, it was probably virtual, and they come up with an initiative why it's better to have your philanthropy executives, your general counsel, your CFO, all the other people who might be involved, and maybe if you can consult with some employee resource groups before you make the commitment. So you really have a sense of what is realistic for you to do.
Certainly what is realistic, and you get more buy-in, more people at the table. Can you give a specific example of a situation where a company did get out ahead of itself or where it didn't turn out in the way that it might expect?
You know, the discussion we had with our companies was, in fact, under the Chatham House rule. So I can't really give you named examples, but I can tell you that a couple of the things that happened to big companies who did this was related to the language that they used. That in some cases, a couple of things they did was they forgot to talk about what they were already doing. And they made this seem like this was just directed at Black Lives Matters, and they sort of ignored what they were already doing in the area. The other thing is that sometimes they phrased what they were doing in a way that made other communities, including Asian Americans who are suffering intense discrimination at that stage in the pandemic, feel excluded. So what companies had to do sometimes was to go back and sort of backfill and have conversations with their Asian Pacific employee resource groups to change how they were talking about it, to make it clear to their employees, Black and white and of all other racial and ethnic backgrounds, that what they were doing was really important for everyone at the company. So I think there were instances where the way they phrased this kind of put them in a difficult position that they had to correct later on.
Paul, how did you decide which corporations to interview for this particular study to target?
Sure. Well, we generally reached out to members of the conference board and those who have been active in corporate citizenship, because what we were looking for were the practices of generally large leading companies. And we wound up hearing in our survey from nearly 100 companies. But then the thing that really helped was we then had a gathering of about 50, 60 executives from those companies. And it was the combination of the empirical data we got from the survey, plus the discussion of the data, that produced these, I think, really valuable insights. I'll just give you one example, if I might. Mm-hmm. The survey indicated that 60% of the companies found that they had not had any issues yet with their nonprofit grantee organizations, all the people they're going to be giving these hundreds and billions of dollars to. In the room, we heard from executives saying, well, that sounds on the surface like a very good thing that you're not having any issues with your nonprofit grantees. But in reality, that's a yellow flag, corporate America, because, you know, do you ever think your company doesn't have issues with things? So you really need to have a candid, completely forthright dialogue with your nonprofit grantees to figure out, are they able to handle the money that you're giving them? What are their capacity limitations? What do they really, what are they hearing from the communities that they serve that may not match the grant that you're giving? So one big recommendation coming out of the report is for all of these companies who have made these commitments to engage in that kind of candid dialogue with their nonprofit grantees to make sure that they're fully aligned before the dollars start flowing out the door.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Paul Washington, who is the executive director of the ESG Center at the Conference Board. We're looking at a new report that studies the investments companies made to address equity issues and where they are a year later. With your insights, how do you think corporations are doing in their promises made to fight for racial justice? Are you noticing specific efforts? What stands out to you? Or what is your company doing on this front? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Paul, which inequality or issues of access are businesses working to address? Can you kind of go into that area?
Sure. the money is being spent in a whole range of areas. The largest area is economic inequality and poverty, with about 24% of the dollars going in that direction. Next up, though, is an area that's somewhat new for companies, and that is investing in racial and social justice advocacy organizations. So that's kind of new for a lot of companies. But they're also investing in housing, in education, in access to healthcare, and notably, another new area is criminal justice reform. So you really do see money being spent in a lot of areas that are underlying causes or at least immediate consequences of racial inequality, and in a couple new areas as well. So, but that, you know, that also does raise a challenge for companies right now, which is in the wake of George Floyd's murder, you had most companies making announcements and they're going out on their own. You know, it's a 2-week turnaround, right? And so they said, okay, here's what company X is doing. Here's our 50 million. Here's our 100 million. Here's this. Well, now that we're in the implementation phase, one of our recommendations is companies should really get together. If you're, you know, in the Milwaukee area or something like that, you know, you should be looking at the other companies headquartered in the area and compare notes and figure out how you can combine your resources to have greater impact.
What was their reaction to small business development or putting resources into BIPOC small businesses?
You know, they did a lot of that. Now, they generally have not done that as much through their philanthropic side, you know, which is where you're just going often giving money away and expect a social return, but not a financial return. But many companies are doing that. I think Wells Fargo, in fact, set up a separate, they took all their PPE money and put it into a foundation fund where it's hundreds of millions of dollars going to support small business, largely minority small businesses or businesses in disadvantaged communities. So there are companies who are doing a lot, but they're doing that when it's aligned with their business. So financial institutions are doing this. You know, you kind of don't expect a cosmetics company or something like that to be putting money into sort of venture capital efforts.
Paul Washington leads the ESG Center at the Conference Board as we look at how companies have addressed racial inequality over the past year. How do you think corporations are doing in their promises? Have you noticed specific efforts? Has it changed your perception of certain companies or how you purchase things, how you buy? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Paul Washington here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing a new report from the Conference Board that looked at how companies took a stand last year after the killing of George Floyd and whether they followed through on those investments and pledges to take on racial inequality. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The Conference Board, for its report, held a discussion with dozens of corporate citizenship executives. Their survey found the pace of spending over the year reflects the seriousness with which companies are tackling this issue. Did your company make commitments to anti-racism efforts? What did it say? What is being done? Join in 800-642-1234. Paul Washington leads the ESG Center at the Conference Board, is with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's bring in Bill now in Sun Prairie. Bill, your thoughts.
I've been an educator for 26 years, and when Floyd was murdered, everybody wanted to do something, and rightfully so. However, it just writhes me that these corporations didn't do research into what the BLM corporation actually is in a socialist organization. And they needed to invest in education because that's where the only disparity is. Because kids will prosper given a culture of positive reinforcement in education, irregardless of their background, starting point, skin color, but it is the parents and the culture around these kids that devalues education and that sets these kids behind, nothing to do with race or color or poverty.
Bill, thank you. I want to get Paul's reaction here on what the executives had to say about education.
Sure. That was, in fact, one of the leading areas. It was 24% of the funds went to poverty and economic inequality, 21% went to education. So it was, in fact, the number two area. You know, when companies give money to education, though, it's a challenge because the dollars they're spending there are often drops in a bucket, right? And we've seen corporations go in with great fanfare in some cities and not achieve as much as they might. So it clearly is an area of focus, but it's also when a company is trying to consider where they can have the most impact, it's a tricky area for them to invest in, but it's one where they're putting their dollars right now or are planning to put their dollars.
How would you describe the level of involvement employees have had when it comes to these companies' commitment to racial equality? What is the role of the rank and file employees?
It's a terrific question. So it comes across as it does in the broader question of how companies respond to social issues. So they are often the ones who are bringing issues to management's attention. Sometimes, it's not necessarily in this instance, but a single letter to the CEO or a member of senior management can spark a company's taking a stand on social issues. The second thing that they're doing here is that they're employee resource groups. We've seen at companies who have resource groups based around perhaps ethnicity or around interest, that those resource groups are absolutely critical in helping to shape the company's response, especially as they move into the implementation phase. And then the third thing that's happening is that the employees are actively involved in carrying out the company's efforts, whether through employee volunteering or in some cases, they are actually directing where the money goes, particularly to community organizations. There are some companies who have said, you know what, local employees, here's a pot of money that's available to you. You know your community really well. Help us find the right organizations to give money to. Now, the company still vets those organizations and so forth, but it's really interesting. So companies play an absolutely central role in companies' responses to social issues. The other thing that they do is they help to keep it real. They are a gut check because if your employees don't buy what you're saying and what you're doing, that's a very big signal that you've got some work to do before you go out there and make a big public splash.
As you look at these nonprofit community organizations and their partnerships with these very large, perhaps multinational corporations, how do you see those relationships and what can happen along the way when you have such a contrast there?
Right. And we recently put out another report on how companies can make an enduring difference in American cities. We looked at Newark, Baltimore, Los Angeles, and Detroit. And I think the number one lesson that came out of the discussion was that companies have been making this shift, but companies cannot show up with their check and with their programmatic ideas in hand and say, this is what we want to accomplish. Here's our RFP, and we want you all nonprofits to fill out a form so you can get these lovely dollars, right? That's not the way to do it. That really companies, if they want to make a lasting difference, need to listen in order to lead. And so it's having a conversation with the local community organizations about what the community's issues are, what the organization's issues are, and then sitting down with them and collectively defining what the objectives are, what resources are needed to achieve it, what are realistic outcomes, and then in some cases, committing to multi-year funding. It may have an initial year where you're just testing it out, but have the idea that we're going to be in this for a while. And I think that listening in order to lead is a key aspect for companies these days.
We're talking with Paul Washington, who leads the ESG Center at the Conference Board, as we discuss a new report that looked at whether companies are staying true to addressing racial inequities following commitments last year. Paul, you know, as you look at the realistic outcomes, as you say, and how companies are measuring outcomes or where they are at in this process and their commitments, how do they make those measurements?
Well, that's a great question, because where companies are right now is this past year, and it shows the seriousness of their effort, they've really been focusing on building their own capabilities. Not a lot of dollars have gone out the door yet. So companies have met with racial equality experts. They've assessed where they went wrong in the past. They've built internal consensus. They've built relationships with outside nonprofit partners. So they're still in the capability building phase. So a lot of dollars have not yet gone out the door. So ways to measure your impact is not just on the dollars spent, not just on the number of people served, but on what measurable difference it made in the community or in society. And that's the main focus, and it's also a big challenge. But one way to do that, again, is to have a conversation both with your nonprofit partners and with government agencies to say, what are the metrics that we should be using to determine success here?
Paul, thank you for joining us.
I'm really delighted. Thank you so much for having a conversation, and I really appreciate your thoughtful approach to this topic.
Paul Washington is Executive Director of the ESG Center at the Conference Board. Find a link to the report at wpr.org/mornings.